This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He ties Jack Eichel for the team lead on the season with 25. Ryan O'Reilly set the NHL record last night for the most faceoff wins in a single season. Locker room cleanout day for the Sabres is tomorrow. Around the NHL, the Avalanche beat the St. Louis.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening as always. And back after the Easter break, it feels a lot longer than 2 weeks. It feels like I haven't done this show in a month, to be honest. But nice to have last Sunday off. Spend some time with the family. Hope you had a great holiday with yours. And we're back in the chair here on this Sunday morning here in Western New York. And I'm getting sick of waking up to a winter wonderland every morning. It seems like it briefly was snowing like sideways out there when I was getting ready to come in here this morning. But luckily the snow is, I take that back, the flurries are here in Amherst, but sun peeking through the clouds, so it's something. But somebody tell the weather machine that it's April 8th and not February 8th. Good morning. Great to be back, as I said. Holy cow, there is lots going on racing-wise this weekend. We've got NASCAR in Texas, IndyCar in Phoenix, NHRA, first ever four-wide event in Las Vegas, Formula One is about to go green in Bahrain, you've got the icebreaker at Thompson for the NASCAR Modifieds, you had ARCA in Nashville last night in a big super late model race that we'll talk about later in this show. I mean, just lots going on. I'm WrestleMania too, but that's not what we're talking about here on this program, but just lots going on this weekend, and fired up here this morning to talk to you at 803-0551 888-550-2550. You can also send us your tweets at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack as well. But, man, just so much going on this weekend, and watched the IndyCar race last night. That was awesome. And ready to watch today's Cup race from Texas. It's coming up at 2 o'clock, the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. Check in on the NHRA. I'll be watching the start of the F1 race here this morning while we're on there. Just so much going on. So I hope you have something to bring here this morning as well, too. Whichever event you're most excited about, please feel free to chime in. Coming up on today's program, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll talk to one of our good friends of the program, Dustin Long from NBC Sports. D-Lo will join us at quarter past to talk some NASCAR, as he is part of the crew there at the NASCAR on NBC. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, big changes in store this year for the venerable Holland Speedway down in the southern part of Erie County. They'll be opening up this year, but new dates, some Friday night racing going down at Holland this year, and we're going to talk to the new man in charge of the Holland Speedway. Daniel Hutchinson is going to be running the ship this year. Still technically owned by the Bennett family, Ron, Tim Bennett, and the family. But Daniel Hutchinson will be in charge of the program and a potential future owner of the property, I would assume. So we will talk to Daniel Hutchinson at the bottom of the hour about the future of Holland Speedway and what is on tap this year. But we'll start here quickly on NASCAR and today's race. And how about the Fords? Once again, they are just out of the box here quickly, just tearing things up in the Cup Series. And they were pretty dominant in qualifying on Friday, although the qualifying was shortened by lightning in the Texas Dallas-Fort Worth area. So they did only get one round of qualifying in, but still, out of the top 14, I think they had eight Fords in the top 14 qualifiers for today's race, including all Fords in the first two rows, including that front row of Kurt Busch on the pole and his teammate Kevin Harvick, who, of course, has won three out of the six races so far this season on the front row. Clint Bowyer, who got the big win in the rain-delayed race at Martinsville a couple of weeks ago, his first win in 190 starts in the Cup Series. He rolls off third today. Ryan Blaney dominated the Xfinity Series race. He rolls off fourth for Team Penske. Then you got a couple of Toyotas, Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex. Then it's the Ford of Joey Logano, then Kyle Busch. Jimmy Johnson, who is no slouch at Texas Motor Speedway, despite his struggles so far this year. Don't forget, Jimmy Johnson has won three out of the last six and five out of the last 10 Cup races at Texas. He starts eighth today. Again, we know about Chevy's struggles, but this could be a big day for the 48 team as they do so well at this racetrack. He rolls off ninth alongside Kyle Larson. Then you got two more fours in Brad Keselowski and Eric Almirola in row six. And then the final Ford inside the top 14, that of Trevor Bayne. He is alongside Daniel Suarez, who that rounds out your top 14. You also have Bubba Wallace starts 15th. Alex Bowman is 16th. Chase Elliott back in 20th. Eric Jones in 21st. Ricky Stenhouse back in 26th. And William Byron did not do well in qualifying in the 24 car. He rolls off 33rd today for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. Green flag just after 2 o'clock this afternoon. But really, the Fords just continue to just have an amazing start to the season. I'm going to talk more about this with Dustin Long in a few minutes. Is it just the Fords have an advantage because they didn't have to deal with too many changes this year, whereas Chevy had a new car and Toyota maybe having to deal with the confines of the new optical scanning stations that are maybe have reined in their some of their advantages in the downforce category? We'll talk to Dustin about that in a couple of minutes. Is it just put Ford that much ahead, or is it Stuart Haas in their second year with Ford and more information under their belts helping them as well too? It could be all of that. Probably is all of that. But we'll talk to Dustin Long about that in just a few minutes or so. But the big news, actually, it wasn't big news. I guess it's news that it wasn't big news. But earlier this week, we got the 2019 Cup schedule already. And I can't remember how early the 2018 schedule came out last year. But the schedule releases in NASCAR have gotten a lot earlier in recent years. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that these tracks have been under these five-year licensing agreements with NASCAR, sanction agreements with NASCAR, which virtually locks their dates in. Although, you know, we did see some date changes, of course, going into this year with the transfer of the one New Hampshire date over to the folks at Las Vegas. There hasn't been a whole lot of that in the last few years since the since the sanctioning deals were signed by NASCAR and its tracks for these five-year deals. And that's been good and it's been bad for several reasons. One of the good things is it's great for tracks that might have had a question mark about if they were bringing back NASCAR on a yearly basis. You remember Watkins Glen, you know, before ISC took over, you know, maybe you go back about 15, 20 years, every year you would kind of question, would NASCAR come back to Watkins Glen? And luckily that they kept coming back every year, and then ISC bought the track. So, of course, that's the Franz family, which is pretty much NASCAR, although they're separate companies. So that shored up their deal at NASCAR. But you had, not that long ago, you had to wonder if NASCAR was coming back to Watkins Glen every year. But now with a five-year deal, they know that through, I believe it's through the 2020 season, that NASCAR that Watkins Glen is hosting a Cup race and hosting Xfinity race. They've known that, and they're locked in, of course, in their traditional first weekend of August. So it's been good in that way, but the sanctioning agreements have also kind of landlocked the schedules. And, you know, there's a lot of races on the schedule that some fans would love to get rid of or change or see tracks that host two races hold only one race. And there's a handful of tracks like that. We've seen some changes like this year where Indianapolis, their date got moved around. Of course, they've gone from their late July date. Now they're the final race of the regular season, trying to inject a little more action into that date as the final date of the regular season on September the 9th. You saw, again, the New Hampshire date switch. They lost one of their dates. Vegas picked up the opening date of the Chase. Chicago got moved back into the summer away from September and football season and all that. They're now they're July 1st on the schedule the week before the summer Daytona race. So we did see some shuffling this year, a lot more compared to years past. But really, the next time you're going to see a lot of schedule changing is into that 2021 season. And there's been a lot of talk lately on what changes we'd like to see to the schedule and what tracks you'd like to see added and everything. And this goes for all three series, too. Not only just the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Truck Series. Each series has its own scheduling quirks. And, I like the Truck Series schedule for the most part. I'd like to see them do more events that are separate from the Xfinity and Cup Series. They do plenty. You know, of course, they do the race at Eldora, which is great. They do Canadian Tire Motorsports Park Labor Day weekend, or actually this year, it's August 26th. It's not even Labor Day weekend this year. They go to Gateway. They go to some tracks that the other series don't go to. Same with the Xfinity Series. They go to places like Mid-Ohio and Road America, and both the trucks in the Xfinity Series, they both go to Iowa, which is something the Cup Series doesn't go to. But I want to see more. Kevin Harvick's been kind of championing the wanting to return the Truck Series to more short tracks like they did back in the day when the trucks first started, when they used to go to places like Flemington, New Jersey, and Louisville, and Tucson Raceway Park when it was open, the old Winter Heat back in the day, more stuff like that, and that would be great. Unfortunately, the modern NASCAR scene, it makes it difficult because tracks now have to require safer barriers except for Eldora and and getting these short tracks to hold enough race fans and everything, and they would have to make major facility changes like Mansfield, Ohio, when they were still pavement and hosting the truck race. They'd have to bring in temporary seating and everything to hold a truck race, and of course Mansfield is now dirt. But to get the Truck Series back to more tracks like that would be awesome. Is it going to happen? No, but I would like to continue to see the Truck Series have its own identity and run more events separate from the two big series. There are some races that should stay with the Truck Series. The Daytona race is cool. That's part of Speed Weeks. The weekend we had a couple weeks ago at Martinsville where they run on Saturday. I love that. I love watching the trucks in Martinsville. That's cool, but I'd like to see them go to more short tracks and run more events separate from the big two just above them. You know, maybe keep the end of season swing where it's Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, Homestead, and have all three of your major series close out your years like that together. But the meat of the schedule, I think, should have more standalone dates. Same with the Xfinity Series. Now, they should continue to find more tracks that that don't hold Cup, get them away from the Cup Series more. Although the Xfinity Series, going back to the Busch Series and everything, of course, it's been more traditional where they're on the same weekend. But still, like to see them have more dates like the race at Iowa and the race at Road America in Mid-Ohio. Those are fun when you get the no Cup drivers coming in and it's purely the Xfinity Series stars. I like those races. Unfortunately, the attraction to see the Cup drivers is sometimes a selling point to go to an Xfinity Series race. So it's an unfortunate, delicate balance, but I would like to see them continue to do more standalone events. But on the Cup Series side, I'd love to see more tracks added. Well, I'd love to see the schedule reduced a few weeks, too. I think the season is too long. I don't think it should end like before the NFL season starts, but maybe lop off a few weeks. But there are definitely tracks out there that could maybe use to lose a date or give their date to another facility. You know, unfortunately, some of those tracks that are closest to us here in Western New York, but the Michigans and Poconos, do they need, two dates every year? Does Kansas Speedway. Unfortunately, with a big investment from the folks at ISC into Kansas Speedway and with the casino and everything there, do they really need two dates? Does Charlotte still need two dates? That fall, I mean, we're going to, this fall race at the Roval, I mean, who knows how that's going to go? It's going to be interesting to say the least, but if that doesn't go over that well, you know, do they go back to the mile and a half track or do they look at maybe dropping that fall date? Does the All-Star race get moved? There's a lot of questions with the future of the schedule, and it's going to be really interesting once we get into 2020 and 2021 when this five-year sanctioning agreement ends, what the schedule is going to look like for all three major NASCAR series. With that, we're going to go to the hotline and bring in one of our favorites here on the program from NBC Sports. Dustin Long is on the line. Dustin, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk with you, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How's it going?
Doing fantastic and ready for some racing today at the Texas Motor Speedway. And Dustin, what was it? It was 80 there on Friday, 34 there yesterday. It's going to be in the 60s today. What the heck kind of race are we going to expect today when they can't even get the weather right for 2 days in a row?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing is trying to figure that out. You know, here with at NBC Sports, we started our NBC Sports NASCAR America Fantasy League that starts this week. And it's goes for the next 10 weeks up leading up to when NBC and NBCSN take over the broadcast schedule of the NASCAR Cup Series and Monster Cup Energy Series and Xfinity Series. And so it's my first time doing NASCAR Fantasy. And, you know, it was hard to, you know, I almost, you know, typically I would look at in making our picks what happened in the practices the day before the race and the final practice and who had the good, who ranked well in the best 10 lap average.
Yeah.
Averages. But, it was so cold yesterday there at Texas Motor Speedway that, you know, for the most part, I'm discounting it. I know like Jimmy Johnson was fast and some of the other Chevrolets were fast, which I think is a good sign, but what does it mean when it's going, when it was so much colder there yesterday than it will be today? Temperature does play a role in it, and you still can't discount the Fords of Stuart Haas Racing, the Toyotas, particularly Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. So, yeah, it's, I normally would have looked at the final practice and even the morning practice on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking much out of it. I just think the conditions are too different. So now we'll see. We'll watch. Jimmy Johnson will win the race and defend his race win from last year, and everybody and he'll say, "See, we learned something in the cold on Saturday." We'll see if that happens later today.
Well, I was going to ask you about Jimmy. He has won 3 out of the last 6 and 5 out of the last 10 Cup races at Texas. We all know about the struggles for the Chevrolet camp this year outside of Austin Dillon's win at Daytona. What kind of day do you think the 48 and all the Chevy cars, but especially the 48, what are his chances today?
You know, I don't know because I've really been looking forward to this race because this race really intrigues me because, you know, you get the start of the year, you go to Daytona, that's a different, you know, restrictor plate racing, that's all different. Then you
yep.
go to Atlanta, then after Atlanta, boom, you go into the West Coast swing. And everything's happening so quickly in the West Coast swing. Cars have to be built ahead of time so they can be transported out because of the long transportation time in shipping and driving a car out there. So it's not like what you learn at one track you can put on the car for another track in
mm-hmm.
the West Coast swing. It's kind of hard to do that. So now you've had a couple of weeks since the West Coast swing. You had Martinsville. You had the off weekend for Easter. You've had time to do some things with the car, to take what you learned at Las Vegas, a mile and a half, take what you learned at Auto Club, a 2 mile, where aerodynamic horsepower matters. And you come to a big horsepower aero track, mile and a half track at Texas Motor Speedway. I don't know if that means that suddenly the Chevys are going to come to the top of the board, but are they going to be more competitive? And that's what I really want to see today is can Jimmy Johnson run 6 through 10 on a consistent basis? And, you know, you haven't seen that as much out of that team. Can he step it up? You know, it's a progression. Now, if he runs in the top 5, then that's great, and maybe they did learn something from Saturday. But I really want to see what Jimmy Johnson can do, what the other Hendrick drivers can do with Alex Bowman, William Byron, Chase Elliott. You know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, Chase Elliott, and when's he going to get that win? And does it happen today, or do the building blocks of that continue today and lead him to something down the road? So, you know, for the Chevy team, that's what I want to see is I want to see if there's progression from some of these teams, and if they're just where they're able to run, as long as it's not because of their short pitting or, you know, four cars wrecked on the first lap that start in front of them or something like that. But I want to see where they can run, and if they can consistently hold that position throughout a fuel run. I don't know if that means they can win the race today. Obviously, you never know what can happen, but I still lean toward, more toward Toyota or Ford over Chevrolet at this point today.
I'm more surprised with the lack of performance out of the 9 versus I am out of the 48, to be honest. I mean, both cars right now on the outside looking in. If the playoffs were to start today, obviously we're very early in the regular season, but I would have expected more out of Chase Elliott early in the season. The Ford camp, though, phenomenal in qualifying. They took 7 or 8 out of the top 14 spots. Is it with the Fords, do you think it's just they got that much better with Stuart Haas, especially with their second year driving the Ford Fusions, or do you think it's just they're taking advantage of both the Chevrolet struggles and maybe Toyota, some of their power getting reined in a little bit this year?
Well, I mean, I think that's a multi-layered issue there, and I think you're right in the sense of Chevrolet taking time. I mean, you think back to last year with the Toyota, when the Toyota had the new body introduced. Okay, Martin Truex Jr. was fast from the start. There was no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle Busch wasn't too bad, and maybe could have won a race in the first 6-7 races, but they kept shooting themselves in the foot at times. But for Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, it took them a while before they really got up to speed. And so, you know, of the Chevy teams, I'd almost say Kyle Larson's kind of been that Martin Truex guy this year, and that he's kind of been fast, but he hasn't been blazing fast like Truex was last year. And I think it just takes time for everybody to catch up. So, if I'm in the Chevy camp, I'm a little bit concerned, but I want to continue to see progression. And I want to see steps moving forward. How will today help for Kansas? How will that help in making that team better for Kansas, to make it better for Charlotte and the Coca-Cola 600, even the All-Star race? So I want to see that. And I think it does take some time. Now, maybe today it ends for Chevrolet. For the Fords, yes. Second year with the manufacturer for Stuart Haas Racing, Greg Zipadelli, director of competition, Tony Stewart, one of the co-owners, and others have talked about just the challenges that they faced, maybe, you know, letting on more so than what they did last year of what that conversion took and how long it took to really get things to where the cars were right, to where you were learning the cars, and then understanding what it took for the cars to be fast. Now, remember, Harvick got better as the season progressed last year, won at Texas last year, got by Truex late in that race, and you started seeing the seeds of what Harvick's done this year,
yeah,
the end of last year. That doesn't mean, nobody was anticipating him to win, 3 in a row. I mean, let's be honest. So I think that's been a factor. I think also, what the four teams have talked about is the new inspection process, the OSS inspection, where they take them into the tent, and they do the scan and everything. The four teams were hoping that would keep teams closer together.
And
that was a factor. And also something that doesn't get talked as much about is the front splitter and the uniform front splitter for all teams. And the belief was that Toyota's had kind of figured something out. So when they went to a standard splitter for all teams, that kind of took something away from Toyota, so kind of brought them back a little bit. I mean, look, Truex has been fast, okay? I mean, don't ignore what Martin Truex Jr. has done. Even though Stuart Haas Racing has won 4 of the 6, the last 6 races, I mean, Martin Truex Jr. has finished top 5 every race except for the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
5th at Atlanta, 4th at Vegas, 5th at Phoenix, 1st at Auto Club, 4th at Martinsville. I mean, that's Martin Truex from last year.
Yeah.
They haven't let off. So there's a lot to it. Like I said, it's going to take a little bit of time for Chevrolets while they're further back. Fords have stepped up, particularly Stuart Haas Racing. Truex has been strong as usual. And look, we'd all be talking about Martin Truex Jr. if it wasn't for the incredible run Harvick's had, for sure.
Dustin Long, D'Lo, you make my job easy. I only need to ask you 3 questions, and just like that, we are out of time, my friend. You mentioned the NASCAR America Fantasy League. What else are you and your colleagues, Nate Ryan and all the great folks at NBC, working on for this week?
Yeah, for the Fantasy League, there's still time to join up. If you haven't, you go to NASCAR.com/NBC Sports Fantasy. And what it is, you're competing against Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s in that league. Our Steve Letarte's in that league. Jeff Burton, Kyle Petty, Dale Jarrett, myself, Nate Ryan, everybody with NBC, Chris DeVoto, Kelly Stavis, Marty Snyder, everybody with it is in it. So you can compete against us. Also, you know, make sure to check out our coverage at NBCSports.com/NASCAR. Nate Ryan's down in Texas this weekend. I'll be down at Bristol next weekend. And just a lot of different things on the site and coverage throughout the week for sure.
Is Lee Diffie in the Fantasy League?
Lee Diffie is in the, he's part of it. So
awesome.
I believe he is in, yeah, he's in the league. So everybody's involved in it. You know, I mean, Lee and some of the guys said the IndyCar duty last night.
Yep.
Quite a race on NBCSN with James with not him, with
Newgarden.
Newgarden, I was going to say, yeah, Joseph Newgarden winning and getting by Robert Wickens at the end. The rookie's really done a fantastic job over there with nearly winning at St. Pete and finishing second at Phoenix in his first oval. So, yeah, we've got Lee and some of those guys over there in the league as well.
I was going to say, yeah, I enjoyed their work last night watching the IndyCar race from Phoenix. Dustin, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Thank you so much, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
All right, have a good one, Dave.
All right, Dustin Long, D-Lo from NBC Sports. And appreciate him coming on the program, and you can follow him on Twitter, too. He's on there, at Dustin Long on Twitter. And, yeah, sign up for the NBC Fantasy League through NASCAR.com. I may do that during the break. Real quick on an F1 update. Bad day for Red Bull already, just 8 laps in. Both our cars are out of the race. Daniel Ricciardo dropped out with, I'm assuming, a mechanical issue. The car just pulled off track, and he got out of the car. I don't can't hear the broadcast, but I'm assuming. But I did see Max Verstappen make contact with another car, and that damaged a tire, not even cut it down, but also damaged the rim on the tire. And he made a pit stop, had gone back out, but he is out of the race. So both Red Bull cars are out of the race. Right now, Vettel leads Bottas and Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton, and are the top four right now there in the F1 Grand Prix of Bahrain, which is under the lights in Bahrain, but of course it's 11:27 here. And with that, we'll come back with more. Daniel Hutchison from Holland Speedway is going to join us when we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Jamie McMurray, driver of the number one McDonald's Chevy SS. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jamie McMurray in the field today for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at the Texas Motor Speedway. Green flag just after 2 o'clock this afternoon. Xfinity Series yesterday, Ryan Blaney picking up the win in dominating fashion, led 132 out of 200 laps. But I like the rest of the top five. Christopher Bell, Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, Ryan Preece rounding out the top five. Four young guns of the sport doing very well, especially Ryan Preece, who continues to get better in every start with Joe Gibbs Racing, the driver out of Connecticut that, of course, is a modified ace, ran Lancaster Speedway a couple seasons ago, ran the Tommy Tony Memorial. And actually, Ryan left Texas yesterday and flew right back to his home state of Connecticut, where he is racing today in the Icebreaker at the Thompson Speedway, the second race of the year for the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour. That'll be coming up at 3:45. That'll be taped late on NBCSN. Tommy Catalano from Ontario, New York, of course, Race of Champions modified regular, won the Race of Champions late model and sportsman titles last year. He is in that race today as well, too, attempting his first NASCAR modified start. Yesterday, Tommy ran in the Valenti Modified Racing Series event at Thompson and finished sixth in his first start there. Phenomenal job for him. And the Big Cat's going to run with the NASCAR boys today, along with his rest of his family, his parents, Amy and Dave, and his brothers, Troyer and Tyler and everybody. They're all up there in Connecticut trying to get Tommy his first start in a NASCAR modified tour event. So good to see. And speaking of local guys doing well, Ryan Preece, Tommy Catalano, Stuart Friesen, our buddy from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, of course, a regular in the Camping World Truck Series, ran his first, well, technically his first super late model race yesterday at the Nashville Fairground Speedway, one of the historic short tracks in our country, ran a big super late model race and finished second in it. Did a phenomenal job finishing second to Casey Roderick, who's one of the top super late model competitors down south. But it was Stewart's first big super late model race. He ran a black 112 car with a throwback paint scheme to Gary Ballou's Batmobile and finished second. I didn't see the race because it was I didn't catch the pay-per-view stream. But from all reports, Stewart did a heck of a job and had chances there on the closing laps, but came up short. But great to see. Not Stewart's first late model start, however, though. He did run a late model race, at least one. I'm confident of this, that he ran a late model race at Lancaster back in the day. I think it was, he was driving Mike Nash's car, but before Stewart went completely dirt and his family still owned Lancaster, he made at least one asphalt late model start at Lancaster Speedway, but of course has gone on to bigger and better things with the Camper World Truck Series. They'll be back in action soon, and great to see him have a good late model run. And now I want to see him do more late model races. I love to go see him run the Snowball Derby this December. If he can hang with some of the best Southern late model boys, and those guys are tough, yeah, that'd be great to see. And the other exciting thing from that late model race yesterday in Nashville was there was a brawl in the pits involving Stephen Wallace, of course, the son of Rusty Wallace, the former Xfinity Series driver who gets by on his talent to compete in super late model racing, and he got involved in a brawl. And there's some really good video of it, and if you go scroll through my Twitter feed from yesterday, you'll see I retweeted it. So check that out. But Stephen Wallace was involved in a brawl in the pits there yesterday at Nashville. F1 still going on. Sebastian Vettel continues to lead. Lewis Hamilton now up to fourth. I didn't say he was running fifth before the break because I didn't know the guy's name. I had to look it up. Shows how much they pay attention to F1, I know. But Pierre Gasly is running fifth. He's driving for Toro Rosso. And Kevin Magnussen for Haas F1 right now running in sixth place. Speaking of open wheel racing, of course, IndyCar was in action last night with the race at Phoenix. And a great race, much better than last year's Phoenix race, which was kind of boring, but it was good to see him back there. But a great win for Joseph Newgarden. It was interesting. It was coming down to the end, a late race caution, and Robert Wickens and James Hinchcliffe, of course, Robert Wickens we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, James Hinchcliffe, the Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports cars, and Alexander Rossi, all three elected to stay out while everybody else came down pit road late. And it looked like we were potentially getting a repeat of the St. Petersburg race with Rossi and Wickens right there to the front of the field on a late race restart. But it turned out that Joseph Newgarden on fresh tires kind of blew everybody's doors off to pick up the win last night in Phoenix. Let's go to the hotline, though, and bring in the new man in charge of the Holland Speedway. Daniel Hutchinson joins us on the line. Daniel, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning and congratulations on your new venture here into local racing.
Good morning. Thank you very much for all the great words that you said. It's going to be an awesome adventure.
What title are we going? Director of Operations, General Manager? I didn't know what title to use for you.
The thing about titles is they get crazy. So the only thing I can say about the deal is I've taken over operations. In terms of the deal is private.
I understand. So with that being said, it's always interesting when someone that doesn't have a background in motorsports, I know you did race previously, but still kind of an unknown to most of us here in the local motorsports community, what got you to get involved over at the Holland Speedway?
I do have a racing heritage going all the way back to when I was 14 years old working on dirt cars at Genesee, Humberstone, Merrillville Speedway. Sorry about the noise.
It's all right.
I've always had a passion for engineering, and I've always believed in Holland, and I actually raced there in a four-cylinder car and a cup-like car back in the mid-2000s.
Okay, and so this opportunity came up. Of course, the track had been up for sale in recent years, ever since the Bennett family announced. And you're just kind of taking a chance here to potentially buy the track in the future, depending on how this season goes, maybe.
All I can say is I'm here for the long haul, and I've taken over operations, and the terms of the deal is private.
Okay, fair enough.
If you can respect. I don't want to publicly disclose what we've put in order.
That's fine. I completely understand. I'll stay away from that topic. So with all that being said, then what is your biggest challenge? What do you expect your biggest challenges to be here with this first season?
The biggest challenge is just organizing, because when the new broom sweeps clean, we don't have anything. The only thing that we have is a piece of property. Everything other than that is going to have a new fresh coat of paint and smiling faces. All the operations are going to be new. Website will be rolling out here shortly, and the property is getting a new name.
What's the new name going to be?
The whole property, the whole 134 acres, is going to be called Hillside Buffalo, and it's going to the track, which we'll call it, you know, NASCAR at Hillside, is going to be getting a bunch of little subset of entities in it.
Interesting. So you're going away from the traditional name of Holland Speedway, but the track's going to officially be called NASCAR at Hillside?
Yes. So we'll always have the heritage of Holland Speedway. I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sense in changing nicknames. I mean, you can go all the way back to the Lady in Black. You know, the tracks get their names, and they stick with them through acquisitions, through transfers, through all this other stuff. So I won't ever replace the name. But we're just going to make sure that everybody understands that it's a fresh new start to everything.
And speaking of new starts, and this is the decision I'm very interested to see how it plays out, and I think it's a great time to make this switch, is Holland is actually going to be running some stock car events on Friday nights, which they've never done, and while some may see this as a gamble, I think it's great you've already got, you know, instead of having three tracks within close proximity, I'll try and run it Saturday night, for you guys to make the switch, or at least try to make this switch to Fridays. I think it's a bold, but I think it's a decision that needed to be made in this market.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, over history, you can tell that, you know, quiet people really learn, sit back in the waitings, and then swoop upon them, and that's when you make the large bang. So we don't necessarily believe that we're going to be always transitioning, but we need to necessarily listen to our fan base. We got to listen to our competitors. We look at our sponsors, which will be announced shortly, and those sponsors necessarily need to have, you know, a resurgence. And just like when I started a company way back when, you know, it was a dollar and a dream, and here I am in St. Louis with, you know, $500,000 trade show booth, and we're growing. So this is the same resurgence feeling that I would like the racing community to be a part of, and the great city of Buffalo.
Real quick, I know you've got the schedule put together. What are some of the big dates you're looking forward to on the 2018 schedule?
Everyone, sir. can't wait to shake people's hands. I can't wait to smile. I can't wait to see the smiles out there. Everybody always asks me what my title is, and I think my title is just making sure that everybody feels like a rock star.
That is a good way to be a race promoter. I hope it works out. I know I don't get to go to Holland as much because my Saturday nights are full, but I'm looking forward to especially the Race of Champions Modified Series event on July 21st. I'll be there for that, of course, but really looking forward to it, and I wish you the best of luck.
All right, thank you very much, and it all starts with your support. So anything that you do, please feel free to reach out, and we'll get everything done.
Very good. Looking to meet you in person, Daniel. And again, thank you for taking the time. I know you're very busy this morning. I appreciate the time.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
All right. Daniel Hutchinson from the Holland Speedway, which is going to be called NASCAR at Hillside, apparently, as part of the property changes that are going to be going on at that facility down there in the southern part of Erie County. That the property the track sits on is so valuable, and I'm glad that it's going to be kept a racing facility. I know that was part of the deal when Ron Bennett announced the track was for sale, that they were only looking for potential suitors that would be keeping the facility a racetrack, but they're also going to try and do some other stuff there with that property, which is a great not far from most of the Buffalo in first ring suburbs, and it's a prime location. So hopefully it works out for them. They're going to do some practices. Their first race date is a Friday. They're calling it a soft opening Friday, May 18th. Their first Saturday date will be a Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May the 26th, and then they're kind of alternating Fridays and Saturdays. Their full schedule's on their Facebook page. Just search Holland International Speedway on Facebook. They're going to run the SST/Pro Modified/Sportsman street. They're calling Street Stock 8s, the old Chargers, Street Stock 4s, which were the Hornets, and then the Figure 8s, the Legends, and they're going to have the TQ Midgets a bunch of times, too. The NYPA TQ Midgets will take up a residency there. And then, yeah, I'm definitely looking for always the Race of Champions Modified Tour date. It's always very exciting. Some memorable moments over the last couple of years with that date. That'll be July 21st. Just remembering Andy Jay's first ROC win, the night Patrick Emmerling Took down the flag stand at Holland. Just two of the most memorable moments for me as an announcer, at least, but also just for Western New York history over the last couple of years. Just some phenomenal events there. Great race there last year, too, with Matt Hirschman. So definitely looking forward to that date. And they also will have their famous Crasherama dates all on the schedule. So appreciate Daniel. He was very busy at a conference in St. Louis with his day job, which is a company that does 3D printing that I don't know too much about, but it seems to be a very successful business, which is probably why he's able to make this investment into Holland Speedway. All right, that being said, we're going to take a break here. When we get back, we'll wrap up this week's edition of Fast Track. Time for your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We wrap up Fast Track here on WGR.
Hi, this is Ryan Newman, driver of the Caterpillar Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hello, Newman. Ryan Newman. Good starting spot for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at the Texas Motor Speedway for the NASCAR Cup Series Race 7 of the 2018 schedule. As that'll be coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. NHRA is in Vegas this weekend, and it's a new event at Vegas because they have expanded their facility there. The strip at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, they're now a four-wide track, and now NHRA has two four-wide events on the schedule. The first, of course, was the drag strip in Charlotte. They went to four-wide I think it was like 8 years ago, and now Vegas has expanded to four lanes, and I love it. I think it's cool. I know Mike Janis, when we talked to him, he said he hated it as a driver. As a fan, especially as not a diehard fan as I am when it comes to watching NASCAR, of course, I think it's cool as heck, and I'll be watching that on Fox Sports today. Tony Schumacher, the top qualifier at Top Fuel, Courtney Force in Funny Car, and Greg Anderson in Pro Stock, and good news for John Force is he hasn't blown anything up yet like he's done in the first couple events of 2018. Hopefully gets through this one unscathed. The only thing I don't like is the fact that they're so close together on the schedule. You've got today's event in Vegas, and then you've got the four-wide nationals in Charlotte. That's at the end of the month. So you've got both of these events within just a few weeks of each other. So I wish they were spaced out on the schedule a little bit, and maybe NHRA will look to do that in the future. This is just the first year of Vegas being expanded into four-wide. But I'd like to see him spread out. But either way, I will be watching and watch some of the qualifying yesterday. And I think it's just cool as hell. Actually, they did a test run. They actually put two dragsters, two funny cars on the track at the same time. That looked even better. I doubt they would ever do that outside of maybe like a testing or a time trial. They wouldn't do a race like that. But that would be fun to watch as well. But that is also on the docket for today. Formula One, Lewis Hamilton has inherited the lead through some pit stops. Vettel's back to second, then Bottas, Raikkonen, and Gasly for Toro Rosso. Right now running at the top five as they're approaching halfway at Bahrain for the Grand Prix there. Let's go to the phones. Daniel in Franklinville is on the line. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a few questions here. First off, what do you think is going to happen to Little Valley Speedway? Because I know they're not running anymore. And my next question is, what is going on with local racing? Because you see a lot of classes are dying, such as like E-mods, street stocks, mini stocks. It seems like the modifieds and crate lates and late models have been taking them over. And then my other question is, what do you think is going to happen as far as with the late models this year? Do you think Greg Oaks could do better this year than, you know, because I know Max Blair is a hot race car driver, and I'm a big Greg Oaks fan, and I'm just wondering what you think he's going to do this year.
Daniel, thanks for the phone call. I will plead ignorance on the Oaks versus Max Blair discussion because I don't. With working at Ransomville and being in the northern part of this region, I don't follow the super late model ranks as much as I should. I'm trying to get Max Blair on the show very soon and want to talk to him, but I will plead ignorance on that one. They're both very talented late model drivers. I know Max won a ton of races last year, so I will unfortunately not be able to answer that one. The divisions, this is just part of the sport. Divisions rise and fall in popularity. Anything with crate motors right now is very popular because of the quote-unquote affordability. I know it's still very expensive, but compared to buying a regular built motor, the crates are just a more affordable option, a very popular option right now, which is why you're seeing all the Sportsman series take off, all with that run the crate motors and the crate late model series. Those are big right now because it's just affordable and easy to get your hands on one of those engines. So that's just part of the way the sport is. Divisions rise and fall. You look at Ranciville, what they're doing right now with their street stock. They're transitioning them into pro stocks. This is kind of a transition year for the Ranciville street stocks into a pro stock. It's just some divisions get hot. It depends on affordability, the readiness, availability of cars, you know, some of the, like the mini stock classes. It depends what kind of cars are laying around in junkyards, what style of cars for some of those beginner divisions. You know, the 80s Monte Carlos, the Regals, those cars are getting so hard to come by. And yeah, you got to switch to aftermarket parts to run them, especially a lot of the body parts. So that's why you see some of the street stock classes dying out. I know as a comparison to pavement, though, the street stock class at Lancaster is thriving right now. So it just depends on where you are in the racing community location-wise and what's around you and what's available and affordable. So it's just part of the ebbs and flows of the sport. And then the Little Valley Speedway, it's a big question mark. Unfortunately, they will not operate in 2018. I know there are issues with the fair board and the noise with the local community. Not sure if they'll come back in 2019 with a limited schedule. That'd be something to ask Dave Sully in the future when we get him on the show sometime this season. But unfortunately, they will not be running in 2018, which is a shame because it's a gem of a facility that just ran into some bad luck these last few years with the weather. So many of their events getting rained out, and so that hurt them on top of issues that may have already been there. The promoters just growing tired of running the track down there and everything that they have to deal with down there. So hopefully they find some new blood or work out a deal to bring back some racing there in 2019. But Daniel, thank you for the phone call. I apologize I couldn't talk more about your third question there. I wish I followed it a little bit more, but it's just hard with my commitments with the tracks I do work at. I just kind of stick to especially on the dirt side, stick to just the dirt car, modified sportsman type cars. So, but thank you for listening. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you everybody else for listening. Hope you enjoy whichever race you're going to watch today, NASCAR, NHRA, F1. If you haven't watched IndyCar race yet, hope you enjoy it. Also, of course, WrestleMania tonight. Yes, I'm not as diehard of a fan as I was like in high school during the Attitude era, but I'll be watching tonight just because YouTube got me back into wrestling. I will say that when YouTube videos got me hooked back into wrestling. So I don't watch every Monday and Tuesday, but I do. I have the network and I watch all the pay-per-views. So it's a guilty pleasure, I guess. And I don't have any, since Gotham's not on Monday nights anymore too, it's freed up my Monday nights to watch other things. So usually when Gotham was on Mondays, that kept me distracted from having to watch Raw or something. But I will be watching. I loved NXT last night. That was that ladder match was awesome to watch. So I know a lot of folks, friends of mine, are down there in New Orleans this weekend, including Alan Cavana is from Fox Sports that we have on the program. He's in New Orleans and was at the Ring of Honor show last night. And, of course, Ryan and Brian Mazurowski from WBEN are down there. So lots of people enjoying WrestleMania weekend down in New Orleans. That would be a fun trip to do. Daytona Speed Weeks. Yeah, that'd be the best comparison because the whole industry converges it in Florida for Speed Weeks, just like the whole wrestling industry kind of converging wherever WrestleMania is every week. So hope you enjoy that if you're a fan. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.